This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. As always, a very warm welcome to Kerry Dixon for the Kerry Dixon Show. How are you, mate?
Well, got a bit of egg on my face, I have to say, Dave.
Well, you and me both,
last
mate.
Week, I was rather bullish and, how much we should beat Burnley and pretty much dismiss them. Not necessarily no-hopers, but, all the rumours appeared to be correct regarding the club. I'm not going to dive in and say about the Kale sending off was the reason because I thought generally on the whole the first half was a very sluggish performance, lacking energy, drive, picked up after the break, probably a shock to the system, but a bit too little too late, and you can't approach too many games like that, and I'm sure it will be addressed, but it doesn't do much to dismiss lots of people's fears that all is not well at the moment.
I think that's absolutely spot on, mate. I mean, you can look at that match in isolation, but if you do look at it, in the round in terms of the bigger picture, then I suppose that adds to the worry. But I mean, how much of a shock was it, do you think?
Well, it's a big shock to me. I've got to say, even with sending off, I thought we were good enough and should be good enough at home to beat Burnley, and I'll say that. People say Dubbish is stupid because it hasn't happened. But it was a shock. The result's a shock. It's one of the biggest opening day upsets in a long, long time in terms of the champions getting beat at home like they did. I think we will pick up for Spurs. I think it will be an improved performance, but it's certainly a tougher game and there's no guarantees. And added to whatever previous worries there were, of course, is the situation now that we've got with no Fabregas and no Kale. But listen, we've got internationals to come in and people looking to get into the side. But I'm going to need to see the drive and the desire. Before, I mean, we look at the season before and, I was buoyed by the fact that people were trying to get in the side. Everyone wanted to play, any two out of three. People wanted to play up front. When they got their opportunity, they were rich and they were doing well. I saw, I didn't see any of that. I saw brief glimpses of it in the Burnley game in the second half. And most notably from our £60 million signing, Morata, when he come on. He was the real positive that come out of the game for me. But other than that, not a lot.
I mean, to be really honest, I mean, look, it would be easy just to blame it all on the referee, and I don't think that that's true. You can understand why both Cahill and Fabregas went. I think a lot of the Chelsea supporters that I've spoken to since were, you know, had the hump more about the fact that his overall control of the game was pretty poor, and there was a general feeling that, you know, we weren't getting anything out of it, and, you know, all the decisions were going Burnley's way. But, I mean, the amazing thing is, in spite of the disappointment and in fact some of the anger that we had, it was quite uplifting at the end, because, you know, with 10 and 9 men particularly, they did give it a go. They showed a lot of fight. And you're right. I think, you know, Morata was a huge positive. And I'd also say that Rudiger and Christensen were quite impressive too. But let's talk about Morata first. That's your department, the striking department, Kerry. He did look good. He looked like a proper striker. Well, proper striker is a bit of a weird thing to say. He looks like a striker that I like, i.e. one that moves really, really well. I loved his movement, and he's clearly got an eye for goal. What did you think?
Yeah, much the same. The desire. I mean, it's not hard to come off the bench and fire up a side that was lacking. Very apathetic, I've got to say, and very lethargic. So he came off the bench. He gave it some energy, some drive. Straight away, got on the end of Finn's goal. Probably messed up a goal as well, but with his desire to get on the end of things as well by getting a touch. But, you know, he's movement, as you say, into the box. He's wanting the ball. He's, you know, I held my judgment, and I still do. I'm not going to go overboard. That was the first glimpse. But I remember my first glimpse of Arjen Robben many years ago when he came on for a cameo role as such. I think it was against Hunt at Blackburn, and for 17 minutes or something. He was absolutely fantastic. And I thought Morata, for the period that he came on, was pretty much the same, not quite the impact as Robben, but certainly massive improvement on what we had previously. And you know, I said about people have got to hit the ground running, and you know, there's question marks. I see some of the pundits saying, why was he left on the bench for so long, and so on. Well, you know, two things to take from that. Not really sure why he was left on so long, but Batshuayi, well, he had a decent pre-season, I have to say, and he was given the chance or the opportunity to show that he can at least compete for the position, and I've got to say, you know, failed miserably. Talk about hit the ground running, I'm afraid not. Big opportunity. I mean, whether we got caught up in the, you know, the way the team was playing and the lethargy of everything, but certainly didn't do himself any favours. And I expect Morata to start. I don't expect it to go again. I think Morata will start against Spurs, and I think it'll be a lot more drive, and I think Batshuayi might well have to wait before he gets another opportunity, providing Morata has the nous, if you like, to continue what he's doing and show exactly what he's capable of, and perhaps one or two more goals. If he does exactly that, I see Batshuayi not getting an opportunity for, well, League Cup time and so on, and he might well have missed his chance,
which is a great shame, because, you know, clearly the boy has got something about him. I thought, actually, you know, Alan Shearer, who knew one or two things about being a striker, I thought he had a very interesting analysis actually last weekend when he said that, you know, Batshuayi was playing a lot with his back to goal and he wasn't turning the defender, you know, and running into the channels, which made it quite difficult for players like Willian to really put a ball through to him. And personally, I mean, you know, clearly I'm not a football player at all, and you are. But what occurred to me was that he showed his inexperience, really, perhaps his naivety, and it kind of showed me that maybe he still has a fair bit to learn if he's going to be able to lead the line for Chelsea, Kerry.
Yep, I definitely think so. I don't know about, you know, I mean, you said about, well, maybe Alan Shearer quoting, I'm not sure about that, but you said about William putting the ball in. I mean, Morata didn't seem to have a problem with it, because it was William that put the ball in for, you know.
Well, yeah, but Morata was running into the space, mate. I think that was the point. I think that Morata was turning the defender and making those runs.
Yeah, well, and William, of course, put the ball where a centre-forward should be, and behind the defenders,
exactly.
And they're getting on the end of things. You know, it's normal, the way I see it. You know, if you don't do normal things and you're trying to do abnormal things, then, you know, your game is messed up. And I don't know, but, you know, I've said about it, it's a shame for the lad, but, you know, youngsters often get pilloried for not taking their chance when the opportunity comes along. And, you know, I'm afraid the same's for seasoned players. If you don't come and do something at a club. You're not going to get too many chances, certainly not at the top clubs at the top level these days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've been watching Real Madrid in the last few games. I saw them against United. I saw them again last night. Absolutely outstanding. We were asking about a team, expecting a team. I mean, we were talking last week about the Champions League and, you know, we're going to be involved in this competition and, you know, we're going to come up against this. I mean, they look ready to go. In fact, Barcelona didn't look so clever. And Manchester United, who won 4-0 last weekend, were made to look not so good by Real Madrid, who were playing without Ronaldo's, without Bales and so on. And, you know, this is the level we've got to aspire to. And certainly not Burnley at home. It's a million miles away at the moment.
Well, it is indeed. But, I mean, you know, we'll talk about the next game, which is a good opportunity to put it right, of course. But just to go back to Morata, he's a very different kind of striker from Costa, isn't he? You know, Costa's a bit of a battering ram, really. But Morata looks to be, in a sense, a more all-round striker, got a bit more to his game, skillful player, quite clever with his movement, as we've already said. Do you think, you know, I mean, obviously Hazard's out injured at the moment, which isn't helping things. But when we get Hazard back, how do you see those two linking up?
Yeah, well, I mean, Eden Hazard makes things happen for anyone. World-class players do that. And on his day, you know, Eden Hazard, as we've said many a time, is world-class. Morata might well benefit from, you know, the trickery and what Hazard brings to the game. And, you know, he opens up defences. And if you're on the end of things and a striker with an eye for goal and a desire to be on the end of things, then Eden Hazard will be a dream. Pretty much like a Lionel Messi or someone of that ilk, where they do create for other people by the fact they take people out of the game with their skillful play, etc. So, you know, yeah, I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing more of Morata. I'm not going overboard. I said he was a positive, but, you know, I still reserve my judgment at the end of the day. Strikers are judged on goals, and he has hit the ground running. Hopefully there'll be more to come. I think there, on what I've seen, I'm prepared to chance there might be. But let's just see. Each game brings something different. As we've said many a time in the Premier League, you know, you look at your Stokes away, you look at Tottenham away, Wembley, you know, then you look at your Manchester United and your Arsenals who are coming up soon. You know, they all bring something different. And it's how you react in the situations. You say that Costa, the battering ram, well, you know, Costa's got his 20 goals plus a season in the times, however he's got them for the club. Well for him at the moment. Not going well for him at the moment, but, you know, his cards are firmly laid on the table and Morata's still yet to play. So, you know, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm licking my lips at the prospect. I've seen a bit in there which I'm really looking forward to when Hazard comes back and seeing those two play together. And anyway, we've mentioned Costa, and we really can't let this show go past without having a quick chat about that, because it's all absolutely kicked off this week with that interview, which apparently happened purely by random. Yeah, I really don't believe that. But, you know, basically Costa's, you know, it seems to me that he's attempting to manipulate the situation somewhat and wriggle out of his commitments to Chelsea, who are standing pretty firm and saying, you know, get your rear end back here and earn your money because we're paying you enough. I mean, first up, I mean, do you actually have any sympathy with Costa? I mean, you know, from what I understand, this was all kind of decided back in January that he was going to go in the summer. So the whole text thing seems a bit of a red herring to me. But do you have any sympathy with him?
Without knowing the full facts, it's very hard to have sympathy and say this and that. You know, at the end of the day, he's a well-paid professional who's paid for whatever reason to turn up and train and do what the rest of the squad do until his moment of departure. I can understand players having the hump, and perhaps he can afford to stay away and not be paid, etc. And, you know, maybe he sees that, you know, he'll get his move eventually. I will also go on say on the other side of things is that, you know, a disgruntled player is no good in and around the dressing room. And with that sort of vibe, it does spread. And it causes, you know, a bad environment or a poisonous environment. And all you'll get is a situation where Costa comes back and trains separately, trains away or the kids or something like that. And that only causes more resentment and bitter feelings. So, I think something needs to be resolved. He is, or appears to be, inverted commas, taking the mickey at the moment, staying away on the beer and, you know, having a party as such. And, you know, for a player who's worth something to the club, whether they're going to sell him or otherwise, and I think they probably are, he does appear to be taking the mickey. So, sympathy, little bit, yes, but he needs to get himself back, get himself in shape. You know, it's not a battle of, well, I'm all right, I'm doing okay, I'm on my jet skis and going around, jetting around the world, I'll play when I want. You know, you're still under contract to the club and you still have an obligation. So, catch 22, really. Should he be around the club? Should he be in amongst the players? You know, a bad egg and it spreads, if indeed he is a bad egg. I don't know. I can't knock what he's done for us on the playing field.
No.
I think he's been great. I think he's been great over the period that he's been with us. He's given his all. And, you know, there was just a moment under Jose Mourinho where fans doubted what he was offering. But he proved last season, I think, that he'll come back and can do the business, win on song. So if he's not part of our club, then I think they should get him back, get him fit and move him on, personally, if he's not going to be part of the future. But at the moment, it's not a very good situation.
Well, not at all. It's a right old pickle, mate. And I think, you know, I think you absolutely nailed that. I think, you know, from the way I see it, I think that he's got the harp and he's throwing his toys out of the pram because he hasn't got his way, because he's demanding to go to Atletico Madrid and he's using all of this as an excuse for that. And I think the reason why there's been a bit of a falling out between, you know, Conte and Chelsea, if you like, and Costa, is because Conte does perceive him as a bit of a rotten apple. And you're absolutely... I mean, I don't need to tell you that. You've been in dressing rooms. You get a rotten apple in there and you're right, it can spread. And I don't think Conte's the kind of manager who's going to have that at all. But the reality is, as you say, I mean, how do we resolve this? Because if you bring him back, he's going to be a bad influence and that's potentially quite damaging. And on the other hand, this is a 50 million quid asset that you want to sell for 50 million quid, not for 10 million. And I mean, I don't know how they solve this. I really don't. It's not good at all for the club, I think. I'm not really bothered about Costa. That's his problem. But, you know, they're either going to lose a lot of money or they're going to cause a lot of disruption. And you said it, catch 22. It's really difficult to see how this one's going to go, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I just remember back to the Villas Boas situation with the players he sent, you know, training with the Rezes and so on. Players didn't like it. People didn't like it around the club, disrespect and so on. And at the end of the day, we know what happened to Villas Boas. So, you know, it's better if the situation gets resolved sooner rather than later.
Absolutely right, mate. I couldn't agree more.
Cheech.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Cheech, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. So far, unlike Chelsea, we've had a good start to the season, Kerry. We've done 1.5 shows and we haven't had a disagreement yet, so we're doing well. Right, now, we should turn to the matters at hand on Sunday, which, you know, for Chelsea supporters, as you and I both know, irrespective of where we are in the league or where they are in the league, the rivalry and the enmity with Tottenham dictates this is the game that we always look out for, the home and the away game. Weirdly, this year, of course, you know, we're playing Spurs away at Wembley, as that's their temporary home for a year while they build their new stadium. And I think, you know, before we get into the actual game itself, it's going to be interesting for us to see, because, of course, when we rebuild our stadium, Wembley is, you know, rumoured to be the place where we may end up. So I think for the supporters that are going, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But I think first up, you know, I think a lot of people have been rumbling, myself included, actually, that, you know, Tottenham might find it difficult this season playing their home games at Wembley. I think largely because their high-pressing game, you know, they're playing on a much bigger pitch and they might run out of juice. But also because a lot of other teams are going to turn up there and it's almost literally going to be like their cup final and they're going to raise their game. So I think it might be quite tough for Tottenham playing there at Wembley. But do you think Wembley's really an issue?
Could be. You know, they didn't do so well there previously.
No.
Champions League games, etc. So it could be. But they're going to be there and they've got to get on with it. It's the way it is. Crowd situation will be different. You know, some games stadium full, some games not so full, some games, you know, atmosphere different. And as you said, opposing teams or visiting teams are going to say, we're playing at Wembley this week. Is going to view it as a trip to Wembley. So, yeah, it's going to have a different view and a different aspect all the time. But for Spurs, it's about getting 3 points and the team that they are. I look back at their results, still a good win for them last week. They're going to be, I'm assuming they're going to be favourites for the game this week. Not quite sure.
The bookies would certainly have it that way, wouldn't they, I think, at the moment?
I would think so. Most people who looked at the opening game fixtures and the results will probably have Spurs as favourites. But if a decent Chelsea side turns up with drive and desire, you know, we'll give them a game, as we always do. And it could go either way. It's going to be a difficult one to predict. But even with the Wembley factor at the moment, I think they will start the game as favourites.
Yeah. And you know what? Much as I hate to say it, much as it pains me to say it, I find that hard to disagree with as well, given what happened last weekend and where we are in the season as a whole. I mean, and you're right, though. I mean, having said all of that, you know, it would be just so classically Chelsea to, you know, have an absolute shocker in some respects last weekend and then to completely bounce back and surprise everybody. So I think, in a sense, that's also what makes it hard for you and I to predict. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised in the least if we did that, because it would be classic Chelsea. But, I mean, before we get into that, Kane and Ali are two very, very good players. And I think it would be easy to say that they're the threat. But I have to say, mate, I think, you know, last year when we played them at White Hart Lane, I think it was their midfield that won them the game, and they absolutely bossed our midfield, and that was the secret to their success. So do you think that this is going to be a game that's won and lost in midfield?
Listen, I don't ever go along with these situations. I mean, people, as you say, coin a phrase, won in midfield or lost in midfield. I mean, if a striker misses two chances and the other bloke scores, gets one chance to score, is it one up front or lost up front or lost at the back or one at the back? I don't go along with that. I think the 11 that go out will all be part of the team win. And I include any substitutions that are made in them. And I include the manager in that. And you can throw in the referee as well, because they'll all be part of the mix, if you like. So I don't ever believe that a game will be won in midfield if a referee indecision is a poor one. You know, it could be the referee that wins or loses a game. Anything could happen. There's two midfields. I mean, we have the players, player and player of the year in our midfield. Last, you know, in Kante, we've got decent players in our midfield, and you know, whether they're unsung heroes or whether they're names that would get into other sides last year, our midfield was comparable with anyone. So yeah, we'll give them a game. They've got good players in that department as well. They've got good players all over the field, and so have we. I don't think it's going to be won or lost in any particular department. They might get more of the ball in midfield, and if they use it correctly and create more and give the strikers more opportunity, then they might win the game. But the same applies to us. So, you know, I've got an open mind about it. I do expect Chelsea to bounce back because they can't be that bad again. If they were to lose, people would start to ask more serious questions. But Spurs away, you know, with them possibly starting favourites, wouldn't necessarily be a situation where people said the alarm bells will be ringing. But on the back of the Burnley at home, it will all of a sudden pile more and more pressure as the games go on until the situation does get resolved where Chelsea gets settled down. So, you know, from that respect, anything could happen in this game. It wouldn't surprise me if it's a draw. And, you know, people look at Chelsea's start 1 point from six and so on. There'll still be the doubters. But a draw at the moment in this particular game for us, I think, would be a decent result.
Well, I happen to agree with that. But before I explain why, I think that you know, we talked about the midfield and, you know, to a certain extent, I agree with you because, you know, we wouldn't have lost last year if our marking at the back had been better and Dele Alli didn't have two clear headers. So that's clearly what won that game, you know. So I do absolutely understand what you're saying. But I think the problem that we have is who we're going to play. Because at the moment, you know, we've got Fabregas suspended. So really, I think it boils down to a question of who's going to play alongside Kante. And it seems to be, at the moment, I mean, we don't know, do we? Obviously, because it's a bit too early for the team to come out. But, you know, it seems to be a choice for me between Charlie Musonda, who is a player who can play in that position, although that's a big ask for a young player, I think. Or if Conte's going to be a bit more pragmatic, given I think he might put Luiz there basically, and put Christensen, Rudiger, and Aspie in the back three. But that's a bit of a conundrum, isn't it, as to who's going to play?
Well, it's an interesting one, you know, with Bakayoko out, Matic gone. It's not a case of any two from three. It's a case of, well, one's missing now. Let's see what you've got. It's no good moaning if Musonda goes in there and plays and the team get beat. It's no good. Everyone will be saying that the squad is bare. We're playing youngsters. We can't compete and so on. But, you know, if he hits the ground running and does what the youngster from Liverpool did in a week and plays well against Hoffenheim and does what he does, all of a sudden we found a starlet and so on. You know, he could go any way. We just don't know. But it's going to be interesting what he does. At the end of the day, it's all about the result, as football always is.
Totally.
You know, it's about the result, who wins, and then why they won, how they won will be sorted out by people like you and me. And some people would say other people who are better equipped, and some people would say who are lesser equipped to talk about it. But I'm sure everyone will be talking about it, and that's why it is what it is.
Well, you know, my heart says Musonda, but my head says Luiz. But obviously, as you've just said, all will be revealed at about 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. I, for one, can't wait. I mean, it is one of my favourite games of the season. But I think, you know, just picking up on what you said a minute ago, mate, you know, it's a hard one to predict. But I, like you, I really wouldn't be surprised if it is a draw, you know, something like a 1-1 or a 2-2, possibly quite niggly and scrappy as these games tend to be. But I, the way I look at this is, that it's an odd time to be playing Spurs quite early in the season. And it's a kind of game that I can see, you know, neither of the managers will want to lose this game for various reasons. Tottenham don't want to lose their first home game at Wembley. You know, Conte desperately wants to get some sort of a result at the moment. But on the other side of the coin, you know, I don't see it as a must win. I mean, I know all Chelsea supporters absolutely want to beat Tottenham every game, and I know that. But, you know, from the manager's perspective, it's early in the season. It's not like it was like two games to go before one of us wins the title. It's not a must win, is it? It's more of a let's not lose it. Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a let's not lose. But that doesn't mean to say ultra-defensive performance, putting a load of defenders and so on. I think, you know, it will be what it will be, as I've said. But, you know, at the end of the game, if we come out with a point, that's as I've said earlier, so it's a good result for us. If we come out with three, brilliant, it's a great result. And, you know, if we come out losing, then obviously the Doom Merchants and everything will be clamouring. The Chelsea clan will gather and we will get the old siege mentality and, you know, try and bounce back. But the point is, you know, you can't give away a load of points, I do believe. at the start of the season. I mean, you can, it's very early, but you can't be giving the likes of United and City, I don't believe, say, 9 points if we don't win anything in the first three and they're 9 points clear. All of a sudden, you know, it's a big gap. And, you know, we took that last season and it was never closed. We took a gap like that. It was never closed. So we do have to try and stay in contention. And, of course, if we were to get a point, it would stop Tottenham getting another point and they wouldn't be increasing their particular lead over us. So there's lots to be played for. At the end of the day, we play for 3 points each week. And, you know, let's hope we at least get a share of the spoils, which I think we will.
Mm. Well, I think that's absolutely valid. I also think that, you know, given, you know, the stuff that's going on with the club, with the transfers and everything else and the injuries and the suspensions, I think that, you know, first few games of this season is going to be something of a damage limitation. And if we can kind of come away from the first, you know, 3 to 6 games relatively unscathed, we'll be okay. And I mean, you know, when you look at last season, we didn't exactly set the world on fire at the beginning of the season last year. So, you know, and then we went on that huge run and we ended up winning the title. So, you know, I don't think you can lose the title race in the first, you know, month, to be honest, mate. So I still, as always, I'm hopeful and optimistic.
Yep, I tend to agree with you. You don't lose it, but other teams can steal a march, and you know, I'm a bit wary of the two Manchester clubs and the way they've, you know, strengthened and where they've strengthened. I looked at the United game; they weren't spectacular, but they were very organised, very solid. And I said last week they're going to be very hard to beat, and they are going to be hard to beat. And City, of course, have got a huge attacking array. Whether they can cope defensively remains to be seen, but all will be revealed. But, you know, I wouldn't want to give them, say, 10 or 12 points start. I really wouldn't. I don't think many teams will be able to do that over the course of a season, certainly not in the first 6 games. So we do need to be picking up some sort of points while we get ourselves sorted out.
Mm, quite right. Well, you know, like you said, I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be a 1-1 or a 2-2 this weekend, but... you know, I think ultimately, you know, getting something out of the game, a point would be okay. But I think also the performance after last week, I mean, it was a bit of a shocker in the first half, but I thought the second half was much better and they looked more at it. And I think if they showed the same kind of fight and spirit, that will leave a lot of Chelsea supporters leaving Wembley happy-ish, even if it is a draw next Sunday, Kerry.
Yep, you know, I fully agree. Antonio Conte, you know, look at the performance, and I include everyone in it. You know, I'm not going to give the manager sort of applause. So he got enough applause. He was a little bit subdued as well. I mean, I'm all perplexed last week. You know, before we've seen him crowd surfing, there weren't much to crowd surf about last week, I have to be honest. But, you know, he looked a little bit perplexed at times. And, you know, I'm not going to say body language is everything. He's been very thoughtful. But he certainly didn't look a happy chappy. And, you know, let's hope the players on the field and their performance give him something a little bit more to be smiling about this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, let's hope so, mate. I'm sure that you'll enjoy watching the match as I will on Sunday. And we will meet again next week and have a natter about it all, of course. So until next week, Kerry, thanks as always. Been great fun. And I look forward to speaking to you again next Thursday.
Cheers, Dave. Thank you very much.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.